Part 6, Captain Silver. Chapter 25, In the Enemy's Camp. The red glare of the torch, lighting up the interior of the blockhouse, showed me the worst of my apprehensions realized. The pirates were in possession of the house and stores. There was the cask of cognac, there were the pork and bread as before, and, what tenfold increased my horror, not a sign of any prisoner. I could only judge that all had perished, and my heart smote me sorely, that I had not been there to perish with them. There were 6 of the buccaneers all told. Not another man was left alive. 5 of them were on their feet, flushed and swollen, suddenly called out of the first sleep of drunkenness. The 6th had only risen upon his elbow. He was deadly pale, and the blood-stained bandage round his head told that he had recently been wounded, and still more recently dressed. I remembered the man who had been shot and had run back among the woods in the great attack, and doubted not that this was he. The parrot sat, preening her plumage, on Long John's shoulder. He himself, I thought, looked somewhat paler and more stern than I was used to. He still wore the fine broadcloth suit in which he had fulfilled his mission, but it was bitterly the worse for wear, daubed with clay and torn with the sharp briars of the wood. "So," he said, "here's Jim Hawkins. I see you were smart when I first set my eyes upon you, but this here gets away from me, it do." To all this, as well may be supposed, I made no answer. They had set me with my back against the wall, and I stood there, looking Silver in the face, pluckily enough, I hope, to all outward appearance, but with black despair in my heart. Silver took a whiff or two of his pipe with great composure, and then ran on again. "Now, you see, Jim, as you are here, I'll give you a piece of my mind. I've always liked you for a lad of spirit, and the picture of my own self when I was young and handsome. I always wanted you to join and take your share and die a gentleman, and now you've got to. Captain Smollett's a fine seaman, as I'll own up to any day, but stiff on discipline. Duty is duty, says he, and right he is. Just you keep clear of the captain. The doctor himself is dead set against you. Ungrateful scamp, was what he said, and the short and the long of the whole story is about here. You can't go back to them, for they won't have you, and you'll have to join with Captain Silver." So far, so good. My friends then were still alive, and though I partly believed the truth of Silver's statement, that the cabin party were incensed at me for my desertion, I was more relieved than distressed by what I heard. "I never seen good come out of threatening," continued Silver. "If you like the service, well, you'll join. And if you don't, Jim, why, you're free to answer no." "Am I to answer, then?" I asked, with a very tremulous voice. Through all this sneering talk, I was made to feel the threat of death that overhung me, and my cheeks burned and my heart beat painfully in my breast. "Lad," said Silver, "no one's pressing you. Take your bearings. None of us'll hurry you, mate." "Well," says I, growing a bit bolder, "if I'm to choose, I declare I have a right to know what's what, why you're here, and where my friends are." In the same gracious tone, Silver replied to me, "Yesterday morning, Mr. Hawkins, in the dog watch, came down Dr. Livesey with a flag of truce. Says he, 'Captain Silver, you're sold out. Ship's gone.' Well, maybe we'd been taking a glass and a song to help it round. None of us had looked out. When we did now, the ship was gone. 'Well,' says the doctor, 'let's bargain.' We bargained, him and I, and here we are. Stores, brandy, blockhouse, the firewood you were thoughtful enough to cut, and, in a manner of speaking, the whole blessed boat. As for them, they've tramped. I don't know where they are." He again drew quietly at his pipe. "And lest you should take it into that head of yours," he went on, "that you was included in the treaty, here's the last word that was said. 'How many are you,' says I, 'to leave?' 4, says he. 4, and one of us is wounded. As for that boy, I don't know where he is, nor I don't much care. We're about sick of him.' These was his last words." "Is that all?" I asked. "Well, it's all that you are to hear, my son," returned Silver. "And now am I to choose?" "And now you are to choose," said Silver. "Well," said I, "I'm not such a fool, but I know pretty well what I'm in for. Let the worst come to the worst. It's little I care. I've seen too many die since I fell in with you. But there's a thing or two I have to tell you," I said, and by this time I was quite excited. "And the first is this. Here you are in a bad way, ship lost, treasure lost, men lost, your whole business gone to wreck, and if you want to know who did it, it was I. I was in the apple barrel the night we sighted land, and I heard you, and every word you said before the hour was out. And as for the schooner, it was I who cut her cable, and it was I that killed the men you had aboard her, and it was I who brought her where you'll never see her no more, not one of you. The laugh's on my side. I've had the top of this business from the first. I no more fear you than I fear a fly. Kill me if you please, or spare me, but one thing I'll say, and no more. If you spare me, bygones are bygones, and when you fellows are in court for piracy, I'll save you all I can. It is for you to choose. Kill another and do yourselves no good, or spare me and keep a witness to save you from the gallows. I stopped, for I tell you I was out of breath, and to my wonder not a man of them moved,